three in a perfect world, we would have, I would estimate, three more full-time people.
Well,
if we could afford it.
Well, the thing is that according to a couple of, and believe me, they weren't finding fault, because of course this is a common problem in smaller institutions that have to manage an enormous quantity of ephemera. A couple of county historians, a couple of town historians in the Western New York area have said things basically along the lines of, on a regular basis, they have, and by regular basis, I don't know if that means once a month or three times a year, but on a regular basis, they've gone into the archive asking to see things which clearly are documented as being part of the property of the BHM archive, and the material cannot be located. And it just can't be located that day, but in fact the head of the archive will look at do research in another facility where there's storage, and months will go by and the material can never be found. One of them said that there was some quite important autographic material from one of the collections within the archive, and two-thirds of it was missing and couldn't be located anywhere. One of the people that I spoke to, who is a descendant of one of the important Western New York families, who is related to a Dr. John Lord, who gave large, voluminous quantities of material decades ago, a great deal of that couldn't be located. I was told that there was material that was moved around a great deal in the 1980s to different storage facilities that clearly are documented as being in the collections in the decades prior to that time period, but cannot be located now. And hence, I won't bore you with the rest of it, but their estimate that out of over 2 million items, there are hundreds of thousands of items which are lost, missing, or possibly never made it into the archive collection to begin with, because, you know, Mrs. Jones, in 1952, writes a letter saying, I'm sending you all of this material that belonged to my late husband, but in fact, perhaps only three-quarters of it was ever delivered to begin with, yet the museum has paperwork indicating they received, you know, 16 boxes of material, but in fact only 12 were ever delivered. And because they were never inventoried, you know, the museum may very well think that the material is missing or stolen, but in fact it never was delivered to begin with. I mean, serious problems.
Yeah, I mean, I can't vouch for all that to say that that's true or not true. I mean, we and I've participated in some of it, you know, we certainly have gone through and are going through parts of our collection of things that were left to us that we never accepted as, you know, as necessarily coming into the archives. And so some of those things were actually, you know, going back to the original owner, because we basically have become, in some ways, the storage facility for some individual collection who said, you know, well, I have an intention of donating it, but, you know, not yet, but can you store it for us? And of course, sure, we'll help, but, and now we're, you know, we're undertaking a process to basically work with some of those collections to say, okay, these need to move out and go back to the people that rightfully own those collections, or they need to make a decision to donate them.
Right.
And so that may be some of the stuff that some of the historians are thinking, you know, I don't know.
No, I'm talking about materials which are documented as being part of the collection. That might have been donated in 1950 or 1920 or whatever,
yeah.
And then when they're called for to be examined,
yeah.
They cannot be found anywhere, even if they wait a period of months in the hopes that a member of the archive staff could run across it.
Yeah. Like I said, I can't validate for you that it's a magnitude of that size. You know, I'm sure there are times when, you know, an archivist can't find a particular item that might have been misplaced, that maybe it's not, you know, accessioned correctly. I don't know. I'd be very surprised if it was the magnitude that you're saying. I'm not saying wrong. I would be quite surprised if it was of that magnitude. But
Well, please understand, Greg, I'm not trying to find fault with what might have been done in 1890 or 1975 or something. The staff that exists now, I'm sure they're doing the best that they can, but as you say yourself, in the days when Buffalo was a wealthier city and a lot more important material was coming in on a more regular basis, if the material wasn't being cataloged properly, or if somebody is writing a catalog that, you know, their idea of an inventory is 14 boxes were received from Mrs. Smith, which of course isn't an inventory at all, then it, because I'm very concerned about this, because Buffalo has an absolutely unique history. There's no history of the United States, the westward expansion after the Louisiana Purchase and so forth. There's no history of the United States that could be recognizable today without Buffalo, the canal, and the westward expansion. And so it's not, it's certainly not just another small city historical society. And, but I am told that the, indirectly, my assistant spoke to a couple of the county historians in Western New York, who only had lovely things to say about the archive staff, but that, the director of the archive, Ms. Van Ness.
Van Ness?
Van Ness is forced to tell people, she basically said to these county historians in the not-too-distant past, that essentially somebody, at least one person, asks for something that they are supposed to have every week that just cannot be located. And some of the material, of course, is valuable material. One of the county historians indicated that they were requesting certain material that would be historically valuable and financially valuable. It was a fair quantity, and none of it could be located over a period of months. So, as I say, I'm not finding any fault with any employee or board member or whatever of today. But the question is, everything I have heard so far indicates no one has said the problem is small. As I said, the estimates have been anywhere from 10% to a third of what should be in the archive collections is likely not to be there. And these are people who are professionals and use the archive on a regular basis. One of the town historians that my assistant spoke to, he said that he uses the archive two or three times a month. And he sort of gave a list of valuable material he could remember asking for during the last couple of years that cannot be located at all. And so
I think to come back to your, you know, to your original question, I think where I sit, and I'm pretty active on the board, and I led the organization through a strategic planning process over the last couple of years, so we have a good strategic plan in place, and you know, we're pushing to move the organization forward, and to be more responsive and to be, you know, a better organization for all of Western New York. And I think we're taking steps, you know, good steps in that direction. I think to come back to your point, the current staffing, as I think I said, if we could add to staff in the archival on the collection space, my estimate would be we would do a good job if we had three more people. And that probably returns us to a place where we were, you know, what, maybe 10 or 15 years ago from a staffing point of view. I think there are processes and procedures that are now in place in accessioning collections, because I've gotten close to that because of my own donation.
Right.
And I'm, very diligent about ensuring that gets cataloged correctly, and you may or may not know, I went to the school 5 years ago at Tufts University to get a degree in museum education.
Okay. No, I did not know that.
Before I donated my collection.
Bless you for that.
Understand. Pardon me?
I said bless you for that, because there's so many people that have been on that board as simply as a matter of it's prestigious to be on the board of the symphony or the art museum or the historical society.
Yes, and as I donated my collection, I wanted to know, like, what best practice around accessioning, conservation, necessary for, and so we've gone through my collection with the executive director and the collection staff. I've been very diligent to understand, okay, so how does the collection work? How does the conservation work? What do we do here? And I've done a lot of work on my own before I even donate the collection, so that when they accession it, it's much easier for them to accession it, because now I understand
the processes
that they have to go through. So I think to really kind of answer your original question, I really think if we had, three more, collection archivist-type staff, I think we would be in a very good position. And then we could certainly determine, how big this potential problem may be. Obviously, if we had more staff to, attack it. So,
well, I guess my two questions...
kind of my perspective.
I'm sorry.
No, I just said that knowing the museum as well as I think I do, that's pretty much my perspective from, where I sit.
Well, my two questions would be, and you're saying that the archive had a staff of six as recently as 10 years ago? Because what I had been told was...
I'm combining the collection staff, the Freedom Physiologic, as well as the...
Alright. Well, my two questions would be, number one, if you had one additional staff person or three additional staff people, how many years would it take for them to do a complete line item inventory of the entire archive? That would be my first ballpark question. And my second would be, since I have been told directly and indirectly repeatedly that there is so much material which is, and after all, the museum's been collecting for over 150 years, things have passed through many hands and been moved to different buildings and so on. But still, the estimates of 10% to a third of the archive missing, if you think that's wrong, missing, lost, or perhaps, may have been a lot of material that some family promised to send, and when they were sending box after box, they retained some things and so forth and didn't bother going through their paperwork again, or they just sent a letter saying, here's everything that my late husband, Mr. Smith, had, here you are. And there could have been a lot of material that a family retained or a son kept or something. So whether it's lost, stolen, or was never actually given to the archive to begin with, contrary to paperwork from 50 or 90 years ago, if it's not 10% to a third that is missing, lost, stolen, or was never came into the archive collections actually to begin with, what would your estimation be?
Well, again, I'm going to come back to it. If that's true, I think if we had three staff, we would be able to match the collection effectively.
I'm just trying to find out how big the problem is, Greg, and I realize you can't sit there and say there are 109,206 items missing. I realize you can't do that.
I can't tell you that.
I'm just trying to find out roughly how large a problem is, not going forward as to what might come into the collection and be donated 6 months or 5 years from now with adequate staffing, but as far as going back in time to get things accurate.
Yeah, and I can't.